Seeking the Lord's help, we direct your attention this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, reading from the 42nd chapter and the 16th verse. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. As with so much of the prophecy of Isaiah, it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again, in this beautiful evangelical prophecy, we have reference to Christ. My mind goes to one of the chapters at the end. Who is this that cometh from Edom? With dyed garments from Bosra, this that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. Who is this? And here we have an answer in the opening of this chapter. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. Direct references to Christ. He shall not lift up, not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Bruised reed shall he not break, and so on. And then this, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, will keep thee, give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, and this beautiful word, to open the eyes of the blind. So it's the work of Christ. To bring out the prisoners from the prison house, them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. There is so much in our chapter here about the work of Christ and blindness. Thought of this word and thought on the subject of this day. This evening, my mind centered on this thought that one who is blind and then receives their sight can look back to the time when they were blind. Similarly, one who has had normal sight and becomes blind can look back to a time when they could see. You know, the use of this word blind here in this chapter is spiritual. Christ, in his own day, combined in blindness the natural and the spiritual. And our mind went in looking at this text to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, where the Lord dealt with the blind man by putting clay on his eyes, spitting on it, sending him to the pool of Siloam to wash. And he was healed. And he came forth, though he was born blind, blind from his birth. What a figure he is, that dear man, of the whole Church of Christ, born blind. And what a figure of that mighty miracle of grace, the opening of the eyes of the blind. That man whom Jesus dealt with was brought not only to receive his sight. The Pharisees attempted to undermine his faith in the eternal Son of God. They solemnly attacked him. Christ was a sinner. The healing of his sight could not be done by a sinner. They turned on the Lord Jesus Christ and they hated. The blind man said regarding Christ, he said this: whether he be a sinner or no, I know not, but one thing I know. It's a lovely word, isn't it? One thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. And you know, as that ninth chapter of John goes on, the blind man returned and Jesus found him and said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Blessedly we see here, not only, as I said at the beginning, not only natural sight restored, but the blindness of unbelief and the blindness of a godless life brought out. And the Lord said regarding him, they said of him at the beginning of that chapter, his disciples, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest. And those works are the very works that are spoken of here, I will work. And we are told what the Lord will do. I will bring the blind. It leads us to this thought, you know. Do you understand that? Do you look back to when you were blind? One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Spiritually? Oh, I say again, it's those whose eyes have been opened, and only they who are aware of their blindness. They know what it is to be delivered and brought out and given this precious sight of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can look back, and see the time when they walked in blindness. They knew not God, had no desire for him, no thought of him. The world is like that. A godless world, a professing religious world, have never known what it has been for their eyes to be opened. We don't know when Peter's eyes were opened. We cannot see exactly. And the Lord told John, told Nicodemus, the wind bloweth. Thou canst not tell the sound thereof, or whither it goeth, whence it cometh, whither it goeth. We don't know. But we know this, that his eyes were opened. Whom say men that I am, said Christ, if he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Christ said, in flesh as blood has not revealed the Son to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. His eyes were open. What a path he had to walk. It was from that blessed confession and divine testimony by God in his soul that he went to the first Lord's Supper and then to a denial of Christ with oaths and curses. And then to come to Christ as he looked upon him in that judgment hall and to enter into that sacred experience, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and to enter into that in his letter which he wrote, and he said, for as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. He was a great sinner, and the blood of Christ was peculiarly precious to him. I will bring the blind. The Lord is in control. He has all the glory. And we see here such a beauty. Why should he bring the blind? They have no claim upon him. Why should he open sinners' eyes? Why did he open Jacob's eyes? This is none other than the gate of heaven and the house of God. His eyes were open. His ears were open. Why did the Lord open Jacob's eyes and not Esau's? They were both a grief to their parents. But I believe Isaac knew this. While Jacob was a grief to him, he was a child of God. Esau was a greater grief to him. Oh, when we look at this, all we can say is this. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. That is what the scripture is saying, gave himself a ransom for us. And here we see mercy, divine, sovereign grace. Here we see everlasting loving kindness. Why? His people can never tell. They ask that question when the Lord deals with them. Why was I made to hear his voice? And into Father's room, while others make a wretched choice and rather starve and come. Why? They have no answer to it. Only sovereign grace. And it lies here. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. That is a beautiful parallel with that text we have quoted in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, which reads so beautifully, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. I will bring the blind. And it's in this word, where it listeth. The wind blows where it pleases. It's the good pleasure of God to gather sinners out of nature's darkness and bring them to glory. And you know, it is solely of sovereign grace that any poor sinner reaches heaven. And why do you think that is? I believe this, that they may give all the glory to God. It's beautifully put in that little hymn, Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I tell you this, there's no explanation. But it lies here. The work of God, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. And when you look into your own pathway, ask yourself tonight, has the Lord brought you by a way that you never knew about? Called you while a stranger, wandering from the fold of God? Brought you into solemn paths? Moved in your life and in your soul and in your heart and in your circumstances to effectually call you to himself. He does. We have read in this chapter here tonight that word, I will work. What a blessed word that is. And you know what lies in it. The work, you think of the work, what is the work? I will work, what is it? I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do, and now come I to thee, O Father. Oh, think of that work. There are two aspects of it. One is the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. And the other is the work of the Holy Spirit that flows from the work on Calvary's cross. One is primary, the work of Christ on the cross. I will work. The work that he wrought out as he walked this earth in his incarnation, his body and soul, as he perfected for his dear people a glorious, holy, spotless righteousness. And the work which he accomplished in their redemption and their atonement on Calvary's cross, as he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem and drank that cup of which he spoke in Gethsemane, if it possible, that this cup pass from me. Oh, what a blessed work that is, I will work. And the outflowing of that precious work lies here in our text. I will bring the blind. Is he bringing you? Is he bringing me? He leads his dear people. He carries his dear people. He prepares his dear people. He teaches his dear people to bring them to glory. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them. But you know, that tells us something. That they have been made willing to follow. This is because their eyes have been opened. You see in that we read of the blind man, what a opening of his eyes there was. I that speak unto thee am he. And he worshipped him, the eternal Son of God. Jesus didn't often open the eyes of the blind to himself in his own day. Really, they were few and far between. But I was looking only recently at the case of the woman of Samaria. How many was it to whom he actually said, I that speak unto thee am he? We know that Messiah is coming. Woman has five husbands, and Christ revealed himself to her. I that speak unto, come see a man. She had seen the Christ of God. She knew him. The blind man had seen him. I that speak unto the MP, and he worshipped him. The eternal Son of God incarnate. Blindness of his eyes at birth was not according to any sin of his parents, but it was according to the sovereign will of God that he should be in that state. The Lord would open his eyes naturally, and that in it he would open his eyes spiritually that he might worship him. And I do say to you tonight, has the Lord opened your eyes? You, I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Oh, here the Lord does work. That is a way that in their days of blindness they could never see, understand, or walk in. They wandered in the wilderness, says the psalmist in the 107th psalm, in a solitary way. And then we read this. He led them forth by the right way. What a mighty act of God it is to open the eyes of the blind and then to lead them forth by the right way. And it is to lead them to Christ. to lead them in that straight and narrow way that leads to life, to lead them into the straight gate. Has the Lord opened your eyes? Are you encompassed in this sacred promise of God? I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. Can you look back, as I said at the beginning, to the days of your unregeneracy when you knew not the way and you were blind? Be certain of this, that you were born blind. Spiritually, man is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. John the Divine in his epistle speaks again and again in the opening chapter of his first epistle of the work of God in opening his eyes. He says there, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Then he goes on to say this: if we walk in the light. The eyes of the blind are open, aren't they? If we walk, do you walk in the light tonight? As he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. The eyes of the blind are open. There is union with others whose eyes have been opened. There is a fellowship with those, even in simple things in the world of past, the same way. Those who have been bereaved. Those who have had to go through serious operations. They have a fellowship together. And when we see this, something far higher spiritually, those whose eyes have been opened, if we walk in the light. And you know, John says something very solemn that comes to mind in that opening chapter of his general epistle. He says there, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Walk in darkness, that is blindness. John Milton in his ode, his poem regarding his blindness. I was only thinking of it today. It opens, he became blind in his life. But speaking of blindness, he said, dark, 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 amidst the blaze of noon, insufferably dark. That's how he described his blindness. His sight utterly gone. But you know, we walk in darkness. Those who spiritually spend a life like it and have no light. And there are those who say they know the light or think they do, are like the foolish virgin. What is it to walk in darkness? To be blind. But you know, as I said at the beginning, when the eyes are opened for a child of God, when the work of grace is begun, they and they alone can look back to the days of darkness, when they knew not the Lord, they heard not his voice, knew not the power of his Spirit, when the sermon never touched their heart with any life or warmth or sweetness, the singing of his praises for nothing but music to them. No spiritual effect. And can look to the day when they did have their eyes open Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, my Father which is in heaven. Ah, bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them. I love that word. Dear Dr. David Neath, the old minister in the Church of England and late editor of the Gospel Standard, wrote a lovely book which was based on his diaries, Led and Fed. He could see all through his life. He lived a great old age. He could see all through his life how the Lord had led him. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Is the Lord leading you? Has he begun in your heart? And you know, I would remark this, but let's not pass over the scriptures. He led them forth in paths. That encompasses many different paths, you know. I've walked in many different paths in my life. Solemn paths. Paths of disobedience. Paths of submission and obedience. You think of Jonah's paths. One was disobedience and one was obedience. Perhaps you're walking in a path of disobedience. Unbelief. Temptation. Fear. Oh, when the Lord leads, he'll lead you forth by the right way. And he gives submission and obedience to his holy mind and will. What a work that will be. And you will find in obedience joy. You will find the path of obedience that faith must be exercised. I will lead them. Blessed work then that lies here in our text. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Oh, how the Lord brings out his dear people from a godless world, and they can look at the two aspects. I make darkness light before them. They know both the darkness and the light. They can understand the words of Scripture which say, the days of darkness shall be many. That is true of a child of God. You know, in this prophecy of Isaiah, in the 50th chapter, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, accomplish yourself about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have at mine hand. Ye shall lie down in your sorrow. Child of God is brought out of darkness. The same darkness we spoke of in John's epistle. Walk in darkness, blind. But you know, in that deliverance into the path that the Lord will lead his people in, there will again be days of darkness, not the same darkness. This darkness will not be unregeneracy. This darkness will be the absence of their God. When he is absent, all is dark. When he is present, all is light. And it speaks to us of the pathway of a child of God, that he knows the light and he knows the darkness, that he has walked in the days of darkness when he did not know the Lord at all. He can point not necessarily to a moment, a minute, or an hour, or a day even, as to when his eyes were open, when the blindness was taken away. But he can point to the fact that he can know and look back at that darkness, total darkness, and that he was brought out of it, and that the Lord shone by his mercy in his soul. And he came where this dear man did in his blindness, delivered from it, and brought to worship Christ. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Do you see the beauty of that? We read of this in the opening chapter of John's Gospel. He speaks here of the light and speaks of Christ as the light of the world. And he says this regarding him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And he speaks here of that blessed light, Christ. And he says this, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, oh, the gift of faith, the mighty work of regeneration. We beheld his glory. There was light. In him was light, and the light was the life of men. Oh, the power of Christ in his mighty work on the cross. From it flows the work of the Holy Spirit in giving light. It is through Christ's vicarious sacrifice his dear people are made accepted in the Beloved. And they're given light, delivered from their darkness and their unregeneracy. And then we read this, and make crooked things straight. This refers to blindness. This refers to unregeneracy. Man from the Adam fall was crooked, and the sons of Adam were born crooked. But the Lord is able, in his mighty work of salvation, which satisfied his Father utterly, make a poor crooked sinner ready for glory. He prepares their hearts, opens their eyes, brings them to Calvary's cross, heals their wounds, pours in that oil and wine, that sacred balm of Gilead, and he leads them to himself. And they're no longer crooked. They're no longer rebellious. They're no longer defiant. They're no longer disobedient. They no longer love darkness rather than light. Although they have a fallen nature and solemn temptations all their journey through, yet they know what they want. Their longing of their soul is to know the peace of God which passes all understanding. Their longing is to walk in the light of his countenance. The ultimate they could possibly desire is to come where the Bride of Christ came in the Song of Solomon and said, my beloved is mine and I am his. To come where Job came when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. To come into the comfortable light of his countenance, when there is no barrier between their souls and their God, and they lie at his mercy seat, broken-hearted sinners, their eyes upon Christ, their darkness removed, and they long to commune with him. The children of Israel in the wilderness came to Elim. They would have desired to stay there always. It was an oasis in the desert. Wells and palm trees, but they had to move on because the pillar of cloud went before them. They had to go forward. But oh, they went through the wilderness to the promised land. And what a figure it is of the whole Israel of God. And they crossed into the promised land. That heavenly Canaan. There is so much blessed truth here lying in our text. I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. Hidden that path before them is. And what a mercy it is, sir. I will lead them in paths they have not known, never dreamt of. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Then this final word, these things. Bring them, lead them, make crooked things straight. These things. And notice this, will I do unto them? Do you see that the very essence of that is that they have no hand in it whatsoever. He does it unto them. It's his work. All the glory is his. Not of works, not of human works, no offer here to be accepted. Pages and pages are being written in Christian magazines along this time about the open offer and men accepting it. That Christ offers salvation to all men, even though he will only save the election of grace. That men have only to accept Christ without his works. How can an unregenerate man accept Christ? How can a sinner accept Christ? How does a sinner need Christ until his eyes have been opened to see and to know his sinful nature? And it's then, as with the blind man, he knew he was blind. He fled to Christ for healing. The Lord didn't make him an offer. He healed him. The Lord asked him what he would have him to do, that he might receive my sight. Oh, when we come to look at the mighty work of God here, these things will I do unto them. Sovereignly we come back to it. He heals. Sovereignly he works. Oh, the blessed nature then of this truth that lies in our text tonight. I'll bring the blind. That is the election of grace in their unregeneracy. I'll bring the blind by a way they knew not. Can you look back over that path tonight? Has he brought you? Has he led you? I will lead them, he says, in paths that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them, crooked thee straight. Listen that I do unto them and not forsake them. What is the effect? I believe this, you know. That under a realization of all that he has done for them, all they stand in need of, none of which they deserve, they will worship him as the blind man did. He worshipped him in gratitude, in thankfulness, as the dear saints worship him above in that lovely anthem, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. They will have something to thank him for. They will have a heart of love and gratitude because they know they deserved it not. And his was a hand of mercy extended to them. Then they lie in his arms here, promise. Not forsake them. As the hymn writer says, never, no, never, no, never forsake. And that truth which lies here as well, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord's work is a perfect work, and what is begun, he will finish. Oh, search your inmost heart with this question tonight. Where do I stand? in the light of this truth and these truths that lie here. I say again, these chapters are replete with this word, blind. We read it in the next chapter, in the 42nd chapter. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. What a remarkable word that is. Yes, they were blind. Once I was blind, now I see. The blind people have eyes, the deaf that have ears. Oh, there has been a mighty work of grace wrought in their heart. A mighty change has taken place. I ask you tonight, has it taken place in your heart? Has it taken place in mine? What is the ground of your hope? Amen.